On this day, we celebrate the feast of a great saint of the Renaissance, Saint Jerome Emiliani, sometimes called by the nickname which had been given to his family, Miani, but it is Emiliani. Saint Jerome was born in the area of Venice around the year 1480, and they were a well-established noble family with many good connections and much money, and thus prepared their children. Jerome had two brothers that we know of, at least, because they figure in his life story. And as such, the beginnings of a good Catholic life was to be had there. Now, when St. Jerome was a teenager, his father died. And whatever cost it, he ran off and joined the army. Of course, in those days, of course, it was the army of Venice and the league in which they belonged, which was continuously at war with one or the other. And of course, the main threat then, as always, was that of the Muslims, who were capturing many Christians and sending them into horrendous slavery or death. St. Jerome then, as a teenager, joined the army, and he was so intelligent and so good at what he was doing that he was made soon the governor of a city in Treviso. And there was a battle also, and he was captured, and he was thrown into prison. In the meantime, this awakened in him a conversion. And it's interesting because in the lives of many, many saints, this one in particular, but St. Ignatius and so many others, you see that St. Francis of Assisi, there was a moment in which they were at death's door, they were almost in desperation, and then God comes forth. From the very abject darkness comes forth the light. And in this case, as in many cases, it was the Blessed Virgin Mary who freed St. Jerome from prison, and he went back home. At this time, he had to stay with his two brothers to see to their education, because there was nobody else to see to it, apparently. And it was there that, with his own money, he began to take care of orphans and widows, to open orphanages for boys and for girls. There were no co-eds at that time, which we should go back to again in this day and age. And thus began what was to be a new religious order. He eventually decided to become a priest and was ordained to the priesthood. And in the process of these studies and the ordinations, he made friends of very important cardinals and bishops. Among them was Cardinal Caraffa, who was also a good friend of St. Cajetan, and he eventually became Pope Paul III. And so already some doors were being opened. Not that there were no sufferings. There were lots of sufferings. The life of a saint, the life of a good Catholic, and all of us are called to be saints, cannot be without suffering. So if you have suffering, thank the Lord. In the meantime, with other priests that he met there, young priests as himself, he began the order of canons regular, and they were called Samaska because they had transferred to the city of Samaska, which is between Milan and Bergamo, two very important dioceses of the church from ancient times. And thus the Samaska priests began, a very small order, and their main apostolate was to take care of orphans, boys and girls. And they were called the Angelicals because they were like angels who appeared and took care of those who were abject and dejected completely. In the Gospel, we see the young man, the rich young man. Of course, that is a reference to this saint and many, many other saints. If you notice, if you study the lives of the saints, you see a lot of very, very wealthy young men and women who left everything for Christ. Very seldom do we see a poor person who leaves everything for Christ. If you have nothing to give up, then what's the merit in that? And we see this in the life of the saints. This young man in the gospel was very wealthy. And of course, we have two things to learn from him. One, which you have heard before, and we'll hear again. The young man comes up to him and calls Jesus good. And Jesus says to him, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good." And this is something that should be referred back to, especially all the heretics who are continuously trying to quote the Bible, not the real Bible, but also a lot of Catholics. And a lot of people in the South, especially, say, "I'm good," when they say, "I don't need anything." That is really a sacrilege. Because only God is good. So don't ever say, "I'm good." The more you say you're good, the more evil you are. So that needs to be learned. And I don't care what the trash people on the streets say. That is a saying, yes, but it is not a good saying. There are many other sayings that I would not dare repeat here. On the other hand, the young man says, "I've done everything you have said." He was like a regular good Catholic boy. He did everything. And so he said, What more do I need to do, O Lord? And our Lord, knowing well how things were, because nothing is hidden to him, not from you, not from me, not from anybody, he says, "Okay, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and then follow me." And then we see that he went away sad. He did not follow Christ. And many people in today and in the whole history of the church are this young man. They go away sad because when Christ is calling, they will not listen to him completely. And so they do not do that which our Lord asks. Now, one of the things that we must know, God cannot be outdone in generosity. If he asks you to give up something, whatever it may be, including material possessions, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's asking. If you do what he says, then you will receive the vocation to which you are called and many graces. And then on top of that, he will take care of you materially as well. You will never need for anything. People want to hold on to everything thinking that they need it. And that's not. And of course, not everybody's called to evangelical poverty. Not everybody's called to that. And of course, there is poverty and there is poverty. If one is materially poor because that's the way things are, there is no virtue in that. That is a necessity into which you have been born. There's no virtue whatsoever in that. And thus you see, it is the rich who give away and give up and then join Christ. They are the young man, as he should have been in this gospel. On the other hand, the real poverty, which is that of virtue, is that which we do for ourselves to Christ. Giving up of ourselves for Christ. Not only material possessions, which are nothing. They can burn in a minute. A hurricane can take them down, or a tornado, a flood. That is means nothing. But what it does mean is a generosity of heart to follow Christ fully and completely. "Be it done unto me according to thy word," Our Lady said. And thus we should say also, not "I'm good," only God is good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.